Advocates.org. You're invited to gather at 11:45 a.m. to share brunch. Please bring a wholesome, nutritious, savory dish to contribute to the brunch table. Coffee and tea will be provided. The speaker will begin at 12:15 p.m. with discussion to follow. The Community Church of Boston is located at 565 Boylston Street in Copley Square. For more information, visit www.communitychurchofboston.org or call 617-266-6710.
Okay. Artisan's Asylum. Maybe I should have read this first because it's already started, but it's okay. It's going till 11. Artisan's Asylum presents Free Craft Fridays tonight and again on Friday, July 22nd from 6 to 11 p.m. Artisan's Asylum is opening their craft spaces twice a month to the community to provide free access to their equipment and space on the second and fourth Fridays in July. All participants will be required to sign a code of conduct and a waiver before using any tools in the space. Members will have to pass a basic written safety test and demonstrate competent use of each tool they would like to use on an ongoing basis. Make this go. Registration is not required. Feel free to bring food or drink to share. Artisan's Asylum is located at 13 Joy Street in Somerville. And you can visit artisansasylum.com for more information. Again, that's just starting and continuing till 11 p.m. tonight. And again, from 6 to 11 on Friday, July 22nd.
And just quickly, I want to mention that tomorrow from 3 to 9 p.m. in Cambridge, there will be the People's Fest, a block-style party reminiscing on 200-year-old values of liberté, égalité, fraternité, and the pursuit of happiness. There'll be readings by poets. There'll be musicians. Bring food, drinks, and games, music, and all share in neighborly fun. Again, that's tomorrow, 3 to 9 p.m. at the corner of Huron and Lakeview Avenue. In Cambridge. For more information or to volunteer to help, email peoplesfest@gmail.com.
That makes sense. I think we're out of time. It's time for humans to take over the asylum. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I believe, to the best of my knowledge, I will be here next week. I hope you will as well. If you missed anything or would like to share something you heard with a friend, you can visit our website, WMBR.org. Go to the archive page and check it out there, as well as all the fantastic other programming we have here on WMBR Cambridge at 88.1 FM and on your computer at WMBR.org. Stay tuned for Music for Humans coming up after this brief interlude. Good night.
ورجع للسكران and I welcome you. And as the bubble fills the glass, so I fill the air. The types of tattoos that life can give to you, to be scarred. And here to celebrate this with me is Erno. Erno, marhaban.
Hello, doctor. It is wonderful to be back. I too also feel scarred this week.
I sometimes I confuse the word scared with the word scarred. They are different. Here to be scared with us is Zoro. Zoro, marhaban.
Thank you, Doctor. It's a pleasure to be on the show again. And thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there as well.
It has been quite a week, I must say. I have been recently forced to give up a very beloved potion of my mind. I can no longer use it, and I feel its absence most profound.
This is the source, I presume, of the scarring which you are feeling.
Yes, yes, it is indeed. And I find it strange, and I would like to reflect on the fact that sometimes the absence of a potion can be as effective as its presence. It can cause as much emotional and physical pleasure or turmoil as the presence of the potion. And the potion can be a chemical or a person, a piece of music, some art, perhaps a loved one.
Is there some light you can shed on what caused you to not be able to take this potion any longer?
Yes, well, I've been researching this specific potion for many years now, and as you can imagine, became very, very obsessed. And within my work, as is very common, you drink your own potions. And during the research, I got to the point where I was imbibing these potions multiple times a day, and several colleagues just said, "No, Erno, Erno, you must stop. This is not healthy."
So you had progressed to a point beyond research and into obsession.
It became a passion, yes. A driving force. A will of its own. I wonder if anyone, my other co-hosts perhaps, have experienced a similar obsession or passion in their recent lives.
Oh, absolutely. I feel that it may be safe to talk about it in the abstract. I feel like a bird soaring in the sky, and suddenly, in the middle of flight, my wings fall off and become useless. And just at the moment when I am reaching most high to sit among stars is the moment when I lose everything. I plummet. I find myself on the ground.
Wow, that is quite poetic and very tragic as well.
Yeah, it's not good. These portions are important, but there is a certain amount of pleasure or benefit that comes from them, and a certain amount of harm. And the pleasure, I think, decreases, and the harm increases over time. And this is where the brain, the rational mind, should come in and say no. Say no more to this potion.
Well, I think it can be important to draw the distinction between the brain and the rational mind. It seems that there are a whole host of subset of the mind that is not within our control. A lot of the drives we feel and the habits we take up are not choices, but more close to reflex.
I believe this. I think it's so critical to reflect on what one has done to prevent the reflexes from being negative. It's important.
Yes, I think in my point of view, it is only by observation of our behavior that we can make it be by choice.
By self-reflection.
Yes, by this self-reflection, you may uncover your patterns and change them. And if you do not partake in this reflection on the self, then you will be carried by some motion like you are blowing through the wind. It will not really constitute a choice. So I think it takes a lot of will, actually, to make such a changing behavior, Erno, as you have. It must take quite a lot of force.
It did take quite a lot of force. I must say, my mental state and my soul did not want to give up the potions. As my colleagues poured the rest of the potions down the drain, I now know that they are my friends, but at the time I thought it was the potions.
I see.
And then what I realize is that the stronger potions are the people around me. The most effective ones are the souls of my friends.
It seems you are quite fortunate to have people who care so much.
No, I know it may be difficult, but I'd like to hear about the first time that you had this potion.
Well, that was a long, long time ago. I was on a sabbatical in a faraway land, and it was late at night. few days before I began my journey home, and I was stuck in the airport, barely able to stay awake. I found a strange medicinal shop in the airport that sold potions that kept one awake. It did not have the best taste. It was very bitter, dark in color, and it was not very pleasant the first time I imbibed the potion. But then I did not need sleep. I was like a superhuman being who did not need sleep for the next several hours. It was incredible, and eventually, it is strange how the plasticity of the mind lets you do this. The bitterness and the awful taste that my mind associated with the potion gradually gave way to some sort of grudging acceptance, and then into some acquiescence, into some enjoyment, really. And speaking of enjoyment, I think it's time we enjoy the voice of a caller. If you would like to call in, the number is 617-253-8810. We have one line open. Make that two lines. That dial tone calls in quite regularly. I appreciate its continued listenership.
Yes, it is, in some sense, I think, a comforting sound. It's not often, actually, that I hear a dial tone these days.
I don't know. So tell us a little more about the potion.
Well... After I made my way back to the more contemporary and familiar parts of the world, at least for me, I grew to miss the potion. I believe... Let's hold that thought, Doctor, because I believe we have that caller back. Hello, caller. Welcome, caller.
Caller, marhaban.
Hello.
Caller, welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome, caller. I think we lost the caller. Caller is gone.
That's quite curious.
Like the potion, like the pleasure that comes from that brown, bitter thing that stings in the back of the throat.
Yes, and it was very strange when I came back to, as I say, the familiar world, and I noticed this potion existed elsewhere. On street corners and in cafes. In strange paper cups in office buildings.
It is something that you were previously unaware of?
I may have been subconsciously aware. I knew that there were those around me that imbibed something. I did not know quite what it was. Sometimes they mixed other potions with this potion to help with the bitter taste, but I did not need that. As I said, the bitter taste had grown on me. It had grown into a pleasure that I look forward to every morning.
And so, if I may, perhaps I am making your words dance a bit, but before you add this potion, you are not aware of the other world of the people who do have it. And afterwards, that new world is opening in front of your eyes.
Yes, it was a completely detached subculture. I was not a part of it and not aware. It was very strange, so I began to research along with the potion, the culture itself, and I realized some very strange things. There are many, many people who have joined in a culture, in fact, you could possibly say a belief system around the potion. Daily they go to worship the potion, they go into buildings built around the potion, and they sit at little tables with tiny bits of the potion, and they talk to their friends with this potion, and it affects everything they do. Their world now revolves, their meals, their conversations, their relationships revolve around the potion. It slowly absorbs one into its entire existence until you become just an extension of the potion, living vicariously through the sips of others.
Wow, it sounds that it is quite potent, not only in the physical sense, but this atmospheric quality that you are indicating.
And then there are many, many other individuals who cannot even make it to these places of potion worship. So with them, they carry around containers that are able to keep the potion at the right temperature so that they could drink it like they were in these buildings. They take it with them to work. They drink it while they should be doing productive things. But yet, the potion has become their job, their occupation, their obsession. And now, perhaps I'm giving you at least the tiniest inkling of why I had to leave the culture. I researched this for years, I became a part of it. And I said no more. I must be free.
Worship is such an interesting word that you used earlier, Erno.
Is it not, though? Is it not worship?
The devotion is so ultimate.
Yes, yes, to bring your families to these places and to eat your meals in these places. It is very, very strange to meet your friends there and to have your social life revolve around the potion. Yeah, I would call it a form of devotion.
Do you have any idea for how long this society has existed and been propagating?
It has existed in various forms throughout the millennia. Only recently has it taken on the complete and incomprehensible omniscience that it has today. That happened several years ago with the personification of the potion into I don't even have words for it. The potion became personified by certain places of worship. They became devoted to the potion, and they put off an image that they were not. People can be lured in with the prospects of everyday things like Rice Krispie treats and scones and possibly a panini sandwich. But that is how it starts. Though that lures people in, it's not the purpose, and eventually they get drawn into the true purpose of the establishment. The establishment wants them to drink the potion. And the life the establishment has taken a life of its own is really what causes the current state of the subculture to be so prevalent in our society.
Now, I think that it is a bit presumptuous of me to introduce this vocabulary to our conversation, but I cannot help but ask you this question. Would you consider this sect a cult?
A cult is a strange word. For once a cult becomes large enough, is it a cult anymore? How do we define a cult? I ask, because I do not know.
Well, I think that there are several competing definitions, but one that I am personally privy to is to say that a cult is a religious sect whose practice is dangerous to its members as a function of how socially it is run.
As for danger, I do not know. I do not believe I was part of the subculture for long enough, but I can say this, and certain cults operate in ways that they always have the illusion of free will. You are always allowed to leave whenever you want. But yet in this culture, though they say you can stop drinking the potion, it is not always that easy. Let's bring a voice in and see what they have to say.
Again, if you'd like to join, 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban.
Welcome. Oh, you're talking to me?
Caller, it is as though you were in my own voice. Welcome.
Yeah, my radio broke, so I had to call up so I could listen. Is that okay if I just kind of sit here?
Absolutely, caller. Thank you. Be with us. Let's bring a second voice on as well. Caller 2, marhaban.
Hello?
Welcome, caller. Welcome.
Hello?
Yes, well,
I have a point I would like to make.
Please, caller.
I am totally glad that someone is finally exposing this. And I cannot rest while the people who are making so much money off this addiction are going free. And they are forming giant institutions around this potion, and they are buying islands. They are fantastically wealthy drug lords, completely untouched by any legal system. And they have subtle techniques to addict the majority of the population. And something must be done about this, and that's what I wanted to say.
Yes, you are indeed correct, caller. The subtle techniques are very frightening. I have seen instances where the potion has been put into ice cream.
Oh, yes. I myself am addicted to the potion, but I only realized my addiction recently. And this morning, I found a place where I can get the essence of the potion wrapped in chocolate.
Yes.
And it is very dangerous for me. I sit there and eat this essence of the potion wrapped in chocolate continually now.
And in fact,
I can't stop myself.
Some of the kids these days are taking this potion and mixing it with whipped cream. And in the harder subcultures present in this cult.
And their parents,
the hardcore
who are so
members.
Addicted. And their parents are so addicted they don't even notice.
No, it's a downward spiral feeding itself. This is very sad.
I think it's time for revolution. I will get off now and let you discuss that further.
All right, thank you, caller.
Thank you, caller.
So we have an opinion registered that this practice, this cult, it should be illegal. I believe that was the suggestion. It's an interesting motion.
Yes, but then there are always those that will argue, is it the establishment, or is it the members themselves who bring this upon their own being? Where does the fault lie? I'm only playing the devil's advocate, of course.
I see. If I may ask, in your time with this cult, with this organization, did you ever meet the proprietors, the people who are pushing this potion upon the population?
This is the strangest part about the organization, my friend. It is totally, completely, and utterly decentralized. The leadership, if you can even call it that, is reminiscent of the party from George Orwell's 1984, Big Brother. He wasn't a real person, he was a concept, and that's what it is here. I would say the true leader of the organization is the potion itself. Indeed.
I think, like the kitten, it has manipulated the entire species.
Yes, it has pulled the ball of string to the point of unraveling.
It simply has found those aspects of the species that can be manipulated, that have evolved for our own good, and have been manipulated by the kitten and by these various drugs to further the evolutionary gain that it is after.
You'll have to pardon my interruption, but I'm not familiar. Perhaps I am just ignorant of the connection between this potion and a kitten.
The kitten, imitating the human child, manipulates the ape with its mewling. Who is the pet? We follow the kitten, gathering its poo. It obeys us, never demands attention, demands food. Imagine a feline many, 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 many millennia ago that realized by making particular sounds and gestures that it could manipulate a monkey into caring for it. Similarly, the drug found by manipulating certain receptors in the brain, it would be nurtured, it would be spread throughout the land by these foolish monkeys, sacrificing only part of themselves.
So, the suggestion then is that in the relationship between a cat and a person, the ruler, in a sense, is the cat in the same way as the potion is ruling these people.
It may seem strange, Zorro, to say that the human is the pet. But how many times have we heard of a person running into a burning building to save their kitten, sacrificing their own life, risking their own life for the life of a nefarious mammal manipulating them?
I'm sorry, is that question rhetorical? How many times have we seen a person attempt to rescue a kitten?
Yeah. How many times? Well, I'd like to take the moment now to give the call-in number 617-253-8810. I think it would also be nice to play now a submission sent by one of our listeners. This is a soundscape generated by an analysis of a very popular piece of music. Stay with us.
It is like the lyrical musings of a million angels. Incredible.
I think that since all of us are experiencing this sort of withdrawal, the brain and the body gradually recovering its state from long abuse by a potion or a person, it might be a good moment for us to rest, to recover, and endure the withdrawal, the unscarring. So I think it would be nice if we all slept together now on the air. Just let that active, questioning, alert part of the brain relax, and let the trusting, creative part be out there. might grant is to permit that a large inhalation of oxygen to aid in the contraction of muscles not used to the exercise, because you're a little out of shape. And then you begin to yawn because you're really out of shape and you're starting to get tired. But that's fine, because the sleep will be a healing sleep, not like one of those terrible sleeps where you're awake the whole time.
Good. I'm glad.
It would be a good sleep. A relaxing sleep. For those of you that are driving, I urge you to consider pulling over if you are going to sleep. It's dangerous to drive and sleep. Unless you're driving a really big car, then it's dangerous for everyone else, but you're probably fine. And we take a call if we can. 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban.
Yes, I believe it is also okay to sleep while you're driving if you have cruise control and you want to sleep in the back of your motorhome.
I've never owned a motorhome myself, but this is interesting to know. I should consider getting one.
So, caller, I've studied physics, and my belief is that in a battle between a motorhome and a Hummer, if we have two sleeping drivers, the Hummer may win. So I think that if you are not the largest car on the road, it's better
indeed,
to be
awake. However, the Humvee is a high clearance vehicle, and you may note that its axle design is such that the center of the axles, front and rear, are above the midpoint of the wheels.
Yes, the parts of that I listened to sounded correct.
So you mean the car will roll?
I mean that they have unusually large amount of clearance underneath because of the extra high placement of the axles with relation to everything else.
And which means that it could go over the motorhome.
Bingo. Words of wisdom, Lloyd. Words of wisdom.
I'm intrigued by this possibility. I cannot speak for the other hosts, but I think it is quite interesting, and I would love to witness, if I could, an event of that caliber.
You mean of a Humvee traveling over a motorhome?
Yes.
With the wheels in contact with the ground.
And yet leaving behind it water unbroken.
So, caller, this reminds me of the legendary Kilo Ni, who legend says...
Needle neither, no!
See, I don't know what that means. But Kilo Ni was asked, who was a very legendarily tall man, and two students came before him. One man claiming that Kilo Ni's legs were overlong, and the other claiming that they were not short enough.
That
his torso was not short enough. Apparently, Kilo Ni, also being tall, had disproportionately long legs. Kilo Ni listened for an hour to the arguments both of the students made, and after they had both finished speaking, he stated that in his estimation, the wisdom of the universe decreed that a man's legs should reach from his waist to the ground.
That is a very strong statement. I think it is precisely correct in my point of view. Except I might adjust to say the hip from the ground.
From the hip to the ground?
Yes.
Absolutely. Don't remember the word. I think in this way he rejected both sets of arguments. Neither saying that the legs were too long nor that the torso was too short.
Yes, I think it is important if you are faced by somebody or by yourself with such a dichotomy to remember that sometimes it is a false dichotomy.
I threw a tantrum today at a crow, and then an ice cream truck just went by. Just now.
An ice cream truck caller?
Not an ice cream truck caller. An ice cream truck caller. Caller, an ice cream truck. An ice cream truck crawler. Caller. Now it's your turn.
But, you know, it's a little confusing to me.
I'm often confused myself when I work at Burger King, but at least in this edition of myself, I don't curse on the air.
Well, and for that we are grateful. Why don't we bring a second voice caller? Stay with
I'm
us.
I'm Sim Robert with special radio safe mode.
So Mark and Samantha and the real reverberating wall that's connected to your head. Hey, man, I don't know what's going on, but what I do know is that this is a radio show, and I don't think that the cars sound very good, so I don't really know. Can you hear the in my voice? Can you?
Plasticine tuning fork.
Dude, you know who's up? Yeah, I know who's up. Do you know what this really is? Dude,
keep it clean, Monster Magnet.
Man. Dude, do you know who this is? Dude, do you know who this is?
Do you know her?
Do I know? Dude, I know everybody.
Did she chase you around the house with an electromagnet and an ashtray?
Yo,
and just one time
on
at band camp?
Tattoo. Not that bad, dog. Yo, man, for real. The Marlboro police eat dick.
Thank you for that message, caller. That's something I don't really understand. Did caller one...
You know, they say speak of the devil.
They do. I'm not sure what advice this is, to speak of the devil. I think sometimes it is better to let the devil lay.
Well, if we'd like, we could speak of the devil now. I think that the devil probably, I mean, just guessing from what I have read, is attractive. Probably not a very good typist. That would be my guess. Let's bring in another voice. Yes, caller two.
I'd like to tell you about a man who had a line of dots connected from his arm and his hand.
Yeah, I'm sorry, caller. I think we lost the connection there.
He used to be a star.
So, I think we were to speak of the devil at your advice.
I would say, pick up that fiddle and give me a C, a bouncy C.
Well,
the
number is 617-253-8810. Let's bring in another voice. Aha, caller.
Yes, this is the Keeper of Sounds, and I want to say respect to you. And don't look to the fool, even though It is all theoretical.
Connor.
What is your state of mind? Are you theorizing anything?
Caller, theorizing, yes. I think we were just discussing the devil.
So many messages that I do not understand this week.
Yes, it seems the radio is experiencing some crosstalk. I'm not sure.
Do you think that the devil is on the radio?
Probably not. I think not. If I had to guess, I would say the devil would be on
television.
On television. Or maybe on the internet.
Or perhaps in a burlesque house.
Should we try another time, perhaps?
I once heard he went down to Georgia. Maybe he's still there.
It's 617-253-8810. We have very little time remaining, and it's so entertaining speaking to you. Caller, marhaban.
No, I really know how my central nervous system's attached to my head now. So I'm really, really just want to tell you that I'm tripping. I smoke pot. It screws up my breathing pattern, and then I breathe differently. It's pretty awesome, man. Psychedelic drugs are pretty good. And you know what? I don't think that my blood pressure is low right now. I don't think that I really mind. I'm not really feeling it, though. Man, those cars, dude, how do they shake the walls of your room, boy? Dude, but sleeping, I go to sleep. I sleep, like, totally enough. I sleep on my back, but, like, sometimes I sleep easier on my side.
That's weird.
Easier, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, certainly not. You know, I think that on Music for Humans, we all believe that just as Erno and is withdrawing and taking away the need for abortion, that the mind is so powerful, and I'd rather not speak for everyone, but I think that there are many ways to explore the limits of the brain, and drugs really are not necessary.
Mark and Samantha, they're my beings that talk to me through my head. Children can get them, you know that, right? They don't take drugs. And then some people do different things. They say that children mimic their parents and that their voices mimic their parents. Mark and Samantha are pretty weird, though. I think they watch a lot of television, but Mark and Samantha really have, like, some stuff that they like about me, so we kind of, like, keep that to the side. They like this other guy to, like, rap or something. I don't really know, but it's cool with me. You guys work for the CIA, right?
Well, so two things about this. First, we don't. Secondly, even if we did, would we not say that we did not?
I think that is correct. I'm not sure if we would not or did not.
Your head is attached to your feet.
In a manner of speaking, I think it is, and I agree on this point.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just cut you off. I'm sorry. But when I move, the air moves. I think that's pretty obvious. And then you have this old guy that thinks that he's cool for being able to stand still now. But I don't really not understand Native Americans. So I don't really know why this happened. You guys talked about this several times on this show. I don't think we have enough time to get into why this really exists. But I'm being here for their...
That's quite the expression of ideas. Very abstract, but at the same time, I think it is quite potent. And I'm sorry, very sorry to say that I'm not sure I can extract the full meaning from it.
I think it is unfiltered expression, and I wonder when I hear things like this if animals have a sense of time. Unfortunately, we are forced we are forced to have a sense of time.
Thank you very much for my opportunity to talk to the space populace of the CIA with this radio show. And, oh, yes, there is much that I did not say that I cannot tell you that you can figure out in your mind. And if you talk to it, I know that if you turn this off, then you can turn yourself on because you don't like me, and that's the first thing that you can learn about yourself.
No, we don't like you. We love you, caller. Thank you for being with us, and thank you, Erno.
Thank you, Doctor.
And thank you, Zorro.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there as well, and the many callers which we did not get to tonight.
I am a Dr. Jaris Sakran here on Music for Human. Music for Human is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. We are here every Friday at 7 p.m. Please stay tuned for what's next here on WMBR 88.1 FM, Cambridge, Massachusetts.
For safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three,
cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four,
cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.